and welcome to another edition of ESPN Quick Info Talking T20 with me, Srinath Sripad. We're counting down to the sixth edition of the Caribbean Premier League, and joining me today are two ESPN Quick Info regulars. Peter De La Pena, a man for whom the designation USA correspondent doesn't start to do justice. Almost the entire associate cricket world is his playground. Welcome to Talking T20, Peter.
Thanks for having me, Srinath.
This is actually sort of the second episode we're doing with Peter. He's been talking for about 30 minutes and we've run into recording problems, but finally we're on board. Also with me on the show today is Gaurav Sundar Raman, who's no stranger to the CPL himself, having been part of the tournament as an analyst in a past life. He's currently ESPN Cricket Info's senior stats analyst. Welcome back, Gaurav.
Hi, good to be here once again, Srinath.
Right, excellent. Lots to look forward to. There's six teams in a league that's just getting bigger, and with the audience growing globally across television and interest in the region as well. Peter, let's start with you. The tournament labels itself as the biggest party in sport. You've been there, you've seen a lot of the tournament. Where do you think it ranks among franchise tournaments across the globe?
I believe it's maybe 2 or 2A, right in line with the Big Bash. The quality of the overseas players is really matched by the quality of the domestic players, because if you look at the overseas leagues around the world, whether it's the IPL or the Big Bash or elsewhere, probably the number one place where they draw from is the West Indies, because so many of these guys have in a lot of ways moved on from playing for the West Indies or are only semi-available now. So if you take a look at the likes of Darren Samir, Kyron Pollard, or Dwayne Bravo, or Darren Bravo, or you can keep going on and on, these are the guys that are on the T20 franchise circuit worldwide who are getting the most consistent offers. Andre Russell, you can throw in there too. So when you have them as part of your local players and they don't count against the overseas cap, and then you bring in some quality overseas players, and this year they really stepped up the overseas talent pool, I think you can definitely make a case that it's probably slightly above the Pakistan Super League and neck and neck with the Big Bash right behind the IPL.
Yeah, it's interesting. The reason I'm asking you about the overseas player quality and where the league stands itself is that quite a few associates also get a chance. And by associate, we don't mean traditionally the Afghanistans anymore. Afghanistan's, of course, now a full member. The opportunities it offers to players from the USA as part of the local talent, and of course, like we all know, the CPL has now increased the overseas player quota to 5 players, which is not so common across leagues these days, or has never been like that.
Yeah, the opportunity for development is also a key component for the CPL that a lot of leagues hopefully will start to copy off of in the coming years. But the CPL has kind of been a trailblazer in that sense, where they've had this mandate that you have to draft at least one player from the USA or Canada from the ICC Americas region to be part of your squad. And those players, with a few exceptions, are considered local players as well. So they're not fighting for a spot with the broader overseas talent pool. And some of the players in the past, Stephen Taylor is the most prominent example from the USA, the opening batsman and former captain. But Tim Roy Allen, the first year that he was part of the Jamaica Tallawa squad, he played 6 matches and was a key role player.
Was he the one who took that magnificent catch by the boundary?
I don't believe so.
I think that's Fabian Allen.
Fabian Allen.
That was, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Fabian Allen, yeah, took one at deep point, I believe, in Florida, which was absolutely incredible. He was on as a subfielder, actually, in that match. But, Tim Roy Allen, 6 games in the Tallawas championship run in 2016. And then last year, from Canada, Hamza Tariq, the wicketkeeper, batsman, he batted at number 3 in the final when TKR won the championship last year. So they have not just been there as token players. These guys have held up their own as legitimate members of the squad, and that came about as a result of the mandate initially, but the more these guys are around these squads and getting an opportunity to mix and showcase the talents, they're earning that respect, which is great to see.
Gaurav, this is, of course, not the first T20 league in the Americas region happening this year. There's already been the global T20 league in Canada. And one development that's followed that league is that Stephen Smith and David Warner are now available for the whole season of the CPL. How much do you think that's going to add in terms of overseas talent and interest in the tournament itself across the globe?
That's a good question. It's a blessing in disguise for CPL. And not to forget, just like what PDP said earlier, CPL has been one league which has attracted a lot of very good overseas talent. We saw Kane Williamson play for the Tridents. We saw AB de Villiers also play for the Tridents. And they've had some good cricketers playing for them, which has actually made the league much more high profile and followed quite a lot. And we see the Caribbean atmosphere very ideally suited for T20 cricket. We see matches at a good time and good crowds coming in irrespective of the ground. So I think it's great. Smith and Warner just adding more flavor to this whole tournament, considering we don't see them too much in the year. I'm sure that they would also want to perform and show that they're still up there with the best. So that's going to be very exciting. And I think I'm looking forward to see how Smith and Warner actually play. And both of them are in very, very good teams under international leaders as well. So that's going to be interesting for the tournament. And I think they would be the ones making the headlines.
Peter, we're talking overseas talent here, and one big chunk, let's if we can call it that, of overseas talent these days in T20 leagues is the Afghan superstars, starting with Rashid Khan and Mohammad Nabi. They're not going to be around so much for the league as we understand, and is Sandeep Lamichhane as well is going to be part of the league for the first time.
Sandy basically is taking over the spot that Nabi held with St. Kitts and Nevis Patriots last year. He'll be there for the first half of the CPL. He's got to leave midway through the tournament because he has to go to Malaysia for the Asia Cup qualifier that Nepal is participating in starting at the end of August. And if they win that, they get to move on into the main draw in the UAE, and they'll play, or whoever qualifies would play, India and Pakistan in the main group draw. But he did phenomenally in the three chances he got to play for Delhi Daredevils, and then he carried that form forward to the Montreal Tigers in the Global T20 Canada, took 8 wickets in 5 games there. And he'll definitely be a player to watch for the Patriots. And then from Afghanistan, their availability was curtailed a bit because
the Blast has taken them over? Is that what's the reason?
Partially the T20 Blast, but one reason why those guys are playing the T20 Blast this summer and getting the experience there, in terms of Rashid Khan, Mohammad Nabi, and Mujib or Rahman, is they have a tour of Ireland also in August. They're playing 3 one-dayers and 3 T20Is, so that also is going to eat into their availability with it in terms of a scheduling clash with the CPL. So those guys opted to go to the UK for the early part of the summer, and they'll be elsewhere in the British Isles in the tail end of the summer. But the one Afghan player who is part of the CPL who is not going to be contending for a spot right away in the senior squad is Qais Ahmad, who is another teenage leg spinner.
Yeah,
he's another spinner. Yeah, there's a factory line of them coming out of Afghanistan, and he's a leg spinner. Was one of the leading wicket takers in the Under-19 World Cup when they went to the semifinal earlier this year, and he'll be hopefully, from an Afghanistan perspective, getting some opportunities to play. And leg spinners have definitely shown in many competitions around the world, T20 competitions, their value. And Rashid Khan showed that last year, and Shadab Khan showed that as well for TKR. And Qais Ahmad could be getting an opportunity along with Sandy Lamichhane, two young leg spinners from the emerging cricket world to make their stamp on and CPL in 2018.
And talking of emerging talent, I think it's another name that you mentioned earlier, I think we should dwell on a little bit, is Ali Khan from the US. I believe he's one of the stars from the Global T20 League in Canada, wasn't he?
He was one of the real finds. I mean, if anybody who was watching that tournament taking place in Canada. The commentators couldn't talk enough about him on TV, in particular Dean Jones. You can almost hear Dean Jones salivating through the TV screen in terms of possibly eyeing him as a prospect for the Pakistan Super League.
Islamabad United, who he manages.
Exactly. Yeah. And they even had an on-screen sideline boundary chat where he kind of casually floated the idea of, hey, how would you like to come over to the PSL? And Ali Khan said, hey, well, you're the coach. You tell me.
that sounds like a moment which happened to Sandeep from the Hong Kong T20 Blitz. I mean, an unknown name coming to the forefront in a lesser-known league, if I can say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he bowled. It wasn't just a one-off performance in one or two matches. He was very consistent throughout the entire tournament for the Winnipeg Hawks and was amongst the leading wicket takers there, along with Fidel Edwards. And his biggest skill that he showcased was his ability to bowl Yorkers consistently. He was arguably their best death bowler. And in terms of identified skills, key skills to have, it's not just that he was bowling 135, 140 kph. It was how he was doing it. And the ability to bowl Yorkers at the death the way he was makes him somebody who is in demand, whether he's from the USA or any country.
Yeah.
And TKR brought him in as a replacement player. He had actually lost his contract. He was with Guyana Amazon Warriors. They did not retain him in the draft, but he got a second chance to showcase his skills in the Canada League, and he's made the most of it and been brought in with TKR. And he looks like he's possibly going to compete for a spot in their starting lineup this season.
Gaurav, we are less than a year away from the World Cup, and a number of West Indies stars, as we know, have not been regulars with the national side for various reasons, starting from the tussle with the board and so on. How important is this tournament in the build-up, and how much does a performance or a breakout performance in this tournament matter towards them coming back to the big stage and getting a run of games in the lead-up to the World Cup in 2019?
Very, very important. We saw West Indies just lose a series to Bangladesh, both the ODI and the T20 series. So, yes, while the test series, the test squad is still emerging and improving, the T20 is supposed to be their home. That's the home format for them. And
yeah, a little weird that they won the tests and 20. Lost the limited overs legs.
Yes, and the selector has, I think Mr. Courtney Brown has mentioned the fact that if they play the local one-day competition, they would be considered. So the thing is, it's important for players like Pollard, Narain, Bravo to show that they exist.
Mm.
They still have their mojo. They still have their high-class performance. We saw Russell still having it with the bat. I'm sure with some his injury concerns and if his fitness is back, he would be a great force to reckon with. Gail, he's part of the setup. So imagine if you add Narain, who was instrumental in KKR coming to the playoffs, as well as he was a player of the tournament. So that's the talent you have. And if Narain, Bravo and Pollard and all these guys can actually deliver and show that they're still there, great for West Indies cricket. All of us want to see them in England, and hopefully these guys can make it.
No, I was also going through the various squads and seeing a number of non-T20 regulars, guys who like Shannon Gabriel and Roston Chase are getting a shot at the CPL. Is it the first time for both of them? I think it's Chase's first season.
I think the first time they're playing, yeah, because what has happened all these years is that usually the test squad and CPL, test matches CPL happen in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So this year they actually made it a point to have a separate window for CPL such that the West Indian players can play.
Mm.
So that's why you would see even the likes of Jason Holder, who didn't feature last season, are actually available this year. So that's a conscious effort made by the CPL management to ensure that the local West Indian international players actually get a chance at it. So it's very important that Shannon Gabriel and these other guys like Austin Chase, Berthwaite, or anybody who's actually getting a chance, they actually kind of deliver so that they can show that they have another, they're also fit for another format, especially the likes of Shannon Gabriel. But the last thing West Indies would want is him to get injured on this and not be able to play tests.
Peter, we'll kind of go through each team and get your predictions up next. But before that, there seem to have been a raft of rule changes, starting with the overseas player rule that we discussed is going to be up to five overseas players per team allowed this season, which is a rarity. The second rule change is what's most interesting, which is that teams are going to get a penalty in terms of their net run rate if they are very slow with their over rate and they exceed a certain number of minutes per innings. What's that about? It's something that we've been wanting to see in cricket for a long time now.
There were some matches last year that I covered either on-site in Florida or remotely that were touching on 4 hours long. And
sounds like a regular IPL game.
Yeah. Adding the strategic timeouts and all the other shenanigans and charades every time a six gets hit out and there's a lost ball or it takes its time getting back from the crowd. I mean, it just started to get interminable at times with regards to the late finishes, especially some of these matches, depending on the time zone they're in, they would be finishing well after midnight.
Yeah.
And it just became untenable from a fan and a broadcast perspective. So
it's interesting you mentioned that. I'm just going to interrupt you there because we were speaking with TKR CEO, Mr. Venki Mysore, in one of the earlier episodes. And the thing he had to say was about how much the broadcast viewership has increased in a country like India, where it's practically midnight for us. It's almost always early morning sometimes when the games end. So what you're saying makes a lot more sense if you consider that as well.
Absolutely. It's just, I think, well, first and foremost, you got to think about the fans in the ground and then also, yeah, where your TV markets are. But in both instances, it was becoming disruptive. And it's a positive step to kind of rein in the time wasting and get these guys, especially in the later overs, where it really tends to drag on, where if it gets down to the 19th or 20th over, these guys are sometimes taking 7-8 minutes to bowl an over. You know, it's something that they're at least making the effort to find a creative way to kind of nip it in the bud, or at least curtail it somewhat. And it's a fair way to do it. The T20 Blast in England, I think in previous years, they penalized a team, I think it was 6 runs for every over they were behind on the over rate. And that's a little bit harsh, I think, in terms of how it directly impacts the match at hand.
Yeah.
Whereas this
is going to affect the tournament at large in terms of your table positions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not going to interfere with the integrity of the result on the match day itself, but it will have an impact on the tournament as a whole, and I think that's a fair solution.
No, I just wanted to add, although it's great by the CPL management to include this rule to prevent people from delaying, I'm really not too sure if players will actually take this too seriously, considering the fact it's 0.05 in the net run rate, and that's, yes, it's pretty high when it comes close, but if you still win, and which is what is the most important thing, and
but it keeps piling on the longer you go on, right? It's 0.1 for every supplementary over and so on. It keeps piling on from there on.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say is that ideally this would come into the picture only when towards the business end of the tournament, where you're actually involved in a net run rate fight, and with 6 teams and how the CPL has been going all these years, you always had 2 teams kind of not in the reckoning, and it's only a battle between top 4 usually.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a great rule, but I think it will take maybe next season for people to really take this too seriously, according to me. Let's see if it really impacts a team's position or not.
Yeah, for listeners who are not familiar with the rule change, of course, is that the allotted time or the allocated time is around 85 minutes plus whatever supplementary time umpires might offer in certain circumstances. If you exceed that, there is a penalty of 0.05 on your net run rate, and then there's a 0.1 that keeps adding on the more overs you bowl beyond the time limit, which is pretty interesting, as Gaurav says, but it remains to be seen how teams take that. Now, right, let's get to the teams. There's obviously CPL is a 6-team tournament, and we can start off Peter, with the Trinbago Knight Riders, with the defending champions, and then we'll run through each team and get your predictions in terms of who will finish where as we go on. The TKR, obviously, they have an all-star lineup in Cyril Narayan, Wayne Bravo, this Chris Lynn and McCullum as well. And they seem to have only strengthened their bowling attack since then.
I think the thing that has been a key element to TKR's success is their core stability with their squad. I mean, talking with Venky Mysore in the podcast that you did recently, and I've heard him say it elsewhere, but there's with that Knight Riders franchise brand, they've established a element of continuity between leagues where they do make a concerted effort to keep the same players or almost as many of the same players as they can across KKR, TKR, and anything else that they can potentially have a stake in the future. In other words, there was, I think, an attempt in the South Africa League before that didn't get off the ground. But because of that, you've got better chemistry, better familiarity, and you have Bravo, Narayan, Ramdin,
Colin Munro,
yeah.
Lynn,
McCullum. Those guys have been the consistent core of the squad throughout several years, and it's only been slight tinkering here and there that they've done to try and enhance or improve. And Shadab Khan is not available this year, but as you said, quality reinforcement, Fawad Ahmed.
Yeah,
it did fairly well in the T20 Canada League, coming over from Australia. And then Chris Lynn, if he's healthy, that's the issue.
Yeah, that's something we've seen in the IPL as well, and Australia have also found out over the years.
If he's on the field, he's incredible. 2 years ago, he was the leading scorer in the Caribbean Premier League with Guyana Amazon Warriors. He sat out last year, and then this year he's been taken in the second round for a pretty high price tag for somebody who's had injury issues, TKR, but he's worth that gamble. He's worth that price tag if he's able to stay on the park, because he's a heavy contributor at the top of the order.
And the fact about Trinidad is also Srinath. So I remember in 2015, Narayan was actually playing for Guyana, and then the next year, all of a sudden, he moved to Trinidad, and it was a pretty obvious thing that KKR had requested for Narayan to play for them in order to maintain the brand, and he was a big player as well, number one player, and they managed to actually get him because sometimes the initial draft, the icon players are actually pre-decided in the CPL.
Okay.
So he actually just made the Trinidad squad, and that's actually helped them win the title twice. And he's been excellent. And if you see that squad, you have Darren Bravo, Dwayne Bravo, and Narayan, all three from Trinidad. They love this place, and they know the conditions very well. And that's a top-notch team. And now with, like PDP said, there are five overseas players. You can actually get to play Munro, Lynn, and McCullum, which they couldn't last year.
Yeah, that sounds stronger than the KKR top order itself. You add McCullum and Munro as well. Moving on, we'll head to St. Kitts and Nevis Patriots, who were pretty good last year in the 2017 season with Chris Gayle as the captain. They were among the wooden spoon holders over the years. They've not been a successful franchise, but they made it to the final last year. This time they've got Gayle and Evan Lewis opening for them, which is as formidable a pair as it gets, the West Indies opening pair. Sandeep Lamichane, of course, as PDP said, he's not going to be available, but he's going to be around for quite a bit of the tournament. Gaurav, where do you see that side shaping up this time?
Last year was the first year when they actually made the playoffs, and they were actually primed to win that tournament last year, and due to more than they just managed to lose it in the end, and they played very well. And like PDP said, they had Nabi, who did a great job with the ball, but this year they don't have Nabi, and the bowling looks a bit weak according to me. It's not their best bowling lineup, but yes, if guys like Sandeep can bowl those tricky four overs, which we always say, and make it a 16-over game,
yeah,
then St. Kitts are always in with a shout. And Kevin Lewis has also not been delivering as he's supposed to.
Yeah.
So he's had a pretty weak season for the West Indies. And Gale, you never know what you can expect from him. So I have to be honest, I don't expect too much another playoff spot for St. Kitts this year.
There's a few interesting names, Gaurav. I'll also head to PDP just after this. There's Tom Cooper from the BBL. There is Ibrahim Khalil, who was once with the ICL long ago, the Indian Cricket League, when it started off, and he now plays for the USA, I believe. There's quite a few interesting names. There's Graham Creamer as well from Zimbabwe. That all of that makes it quite a bit of a random set of stars picked from all around the world.
Which is why it is a slightly tricky thing, you know. You want people who have been there, done that, played this format, has been part of winning teams before, and they don't have that. Currently, so I don't know how they would gel. The advantage which Trinidad has is that they have their core, they know how they play. So something which St. Kitts don't have. And if I remember right, maybe PDP can correct me. I think Phil Simmons was the coach last season, and now this year they have a brand new coach. Again, those things matter, and I don't think St. Kitts have that.
Gaurav summed it up pretty well. I mean, the big worry I would have at the moment is Evan Lewis is out of form. I mean, he was dropped for the third T20 against Bangladesh the other night in Florida, and that's a ground 2 years ago. He scored the century against India on that same ground, and it was kind of a very stark contrast to see how out of form he is compared to the performance he put on there in Florida a couple of summers ago. And he's one of the leading scorers in the CPL. Last season, he finished fourth overall behind Kumar Sangakkara, Chris Gayle, and Chadwick Walton last year in the runs charts. And outside of Gayle and Evan Lewis, their next highest score was Carlos Brathwaite with 151 runs. So in terms of their run scoring production, the bulk of it came right at the top in the opening combo. They didn't have to lean on the middle order too much. And this year, in the form that Evan Lewis is in heading into the tournament, they're going to have to find somebody to step up in that middle order. And that depth is a little bit thin. You look at somebody who might have an opportunity to step up, Mamadou Riyad from Bangladesh. He was taken in the fifth round of the CPL draft this year, coming over from the Jamaica Talawas, and he'll have a role to play. Tom Cooper, as Gaurav mentioned, is another one they picked up in the draft this year. And then, you know, Brathwaite, he's going to have to probably play a bigger role in the bet than he has in the past. But their overall batting depth is not nearly as strong as some of the other teams, and that could definitely be something that impacts them over the course of the tournament.
Onwards to last year's wooden spoon holders, who've now been strengthened by the addition of David Warner. And more importantly for us on the podcast, they've added a certain Jared Kimber to their backroom staff. Peter, that looks a completely different side from last time. There's Mark Chapman, there's Andre Fletcher, Mitch McLennan, and Lendl Simmons. That sounds like the who's who of T20 they've assembled there.
I personally think they put the jinx on themselves by changing the franchise name from the Zooks to the Stars. They had a great thing going with the Zooks there. And they went from that to being a very unique symbol of St. Lucia to the Stars, which is about as generic a...
Did they go winless last year? Wasn't it that bad for them?
First team in the history of the CPL to go an entire season without a win. That's how bad the curse, the jinx was for them.
The only way is up then.
But, exactly. And one thing that they've done, they've attempted to bring in some leadership. That's the thing that stands out to me in terms of who they've added. David Warner, obviously a successful captain with Hyderabad, Sunrisers Hyderabad. He's there now. Kyron Pollard was the captain for Barbados Tridents for several years. He comes over from the Tridents after a couple of years ago. They won the CPL title and went to the final in back-to-back years. And then the last two seasons, they missed the playoffs, so there was a bit of a shakeup there. But having two big leaders, along with Darren Sammy, bring some seniority and some leadership that I think they were missing in the past. And I think that's the most important benefit that some of these additions and changes to this year's squad will have in terms of lifting them up from the cellar?
You know, Srinath, what I'm most interested in the St. Lucia Stars.
Apart from Jared?
Yeah, there's one more. Imagine Darren Sammy and Mohammed Sami bowling at the Darren Sammy International Stadium.
Oh, quite a bit of a mouthful, like the full Sammy.
Danny Morrison's dream
That I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
Yeah, but like PDP said, I think that's the leadership is something they really missed, and they had two captains last year, Darren Sammy and Shane Watson, and now this year it's only going to be Kieran Pollard, and with Warner and Mitchell McLachlan and Sammy also, who's a good T20 batsman.
There's also Roman Rais from the PSL, who's also among the best going around today.
Yes, but with Pakistan players, you never know whether they're available and whether they're injured or whether they'll be able to actually play through the tournament and whether they'll actually perform. So, but still, they have a bunch of experienced cricketers, and I think this year they could do well, provided David Warner actually comes back to form. He was not looking great in the Canada T20 League, but I'm sure now with a more quality league and quality attack and a much more IPL-esque feeling, I think he might end up doing well.
Onwards to the Barbados Tridents, who honestly they look like an all-star test lineup. There's Hashim Amla, there's Jason Holder, Shea Hope, Roston Chase and Stephen Smith. That's like the core of their side. PDP, Stephen Smith's arrival to a T20 side in a league like this, how much do you think it actually strengthens them in terms of in terms of their batting and in terms of leadership as well? How much do you think it strengthens a side like Tridents?
I personally am a little bit skeptical about it because Kane Williamson was their headline marquee player last year, and he went the entire season without crossing 50. So he was one of the notable failures in the entire tournament last year, and his lack of runs was probably one of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason, why they missed the playoffs for the second year in a row and precipitated the big shakeup in terms of the squad transformation this year. So I know he had very good success with Sunrisers Hyderabad this year, taking over as captain from David Warner.
Even in the T20 Blast since then, so he's been having a decent time.
He's been in quite good form, but it didn't work out for him last year in the CPL. So just by having a big name, regardless of format, especially in the test format, it doesn't always guarantee that it's going to translate in the CPL. Yeah. And the chemistry issue is another standpoint because they've had so much squad turnover. Yeah. You wonder how all these new faces and new names are going to come together in quick time. And, we mentioned before that's something that TKR doesn't have an issue with, and that's why they've been so consistent at the top of the table. Barbados is going to have that to combat with in a short period of time in order to gel quickly and try and turn these results around from the last two seasons.
Gaurav, we must add that this is Shoaib Malik's Barbados Tridents, and he's kind of made a name in the Caribbean in terms of building his reputation as a T20 star and is in the later phase of his career. There's also Shakib Al Hassan and Dwayne Smith, I think, who was the leading run scorer last year. So all around, it sounds like a fairly strengthened lineup from last season.
So Shoaib Malik's obviously moved out to the Guyana Maison Warriors. Now he's going to captain Guyana Maison Warriors. So they've lost Shoaib Malik there. And they're going to be captained by Jason Holder, who's hardly played T20 cricket. He doesn't even play for the West Indies, but he's their leader. So that is another point of contention, according to me. Jason Holder, who's not been playing the T20 format, who's been really focused and improved his game tremendously in the test format, suddenly coming and leading his T20 franchise. I'm sure he has something to prove to the selectors that he is fit for this tournament. So that is something I'm looking forward to. But they have a very, very solid batting top five with Guptill, Amla, Smith.
Wasn't Guptill the most expensive player of the draft, was he?
Yes, he was picked up first, and he's also coming from a good form at the T20 Blast. If I remember, he scored a century there. So, So again, it depends on how all these people gel and how they shape up. But like St. Kitts, this may not be Trident season.
For the third consecutive time, is it? They didn't make the playoffs last year and the year before, if I'm not wrong. Peter, the last...
Yes, but yeah. It's hard to call that.
It's hard, yeah. It's obviously hard to call it at this stage, but we will come to you for predictions at the end of these two teams. Peter, last couple of teams, like Gaurav mentioned, Shoaib Malik is now leading the Guyana Amazon Warriors, who will be missing Rashid Khan this time.
I think that's the biggest subtraction out of any of the squads this year. He played such a huge role, especially down the stretch, in terms of getting them into the playoffs. And they did not start off well. I think they had...
Who do they have this time to replace him?
Well, they have brought in Imran Tahir from South Africa, so a little bit more expensive. He's obviously not known as much of a containing option as Rashid is, but he's equally as potent as a wicket-taking threat. Mm. And he obviously brings a lot of energy to the field with his celebrations. Sohail Tanvir has been there year in and year out with Guyana to be a leader of the bowling attack. And then Chadwick Walton was leading run scorer in the competition last year. He hasn't been as successful when he's gotten his chances with the West Indies T20 squad, but in the CPL itself, the last several seasons, he's been as good a batsman as anybody across the competition at the top of the order. So he's back there again. It's just a matter of finding somebody to partner with him. Luke Ronke last year was brought in as the late season call-up, and he was absolutely phenomenal. And he was, again, a key reason along with Rashid. Guyana started very slowly last year, and I believe they had their home leg last. And when they got their home slate of matches, they made up an incredible amount of ground to make the playoffs. And Luke Ronke was a big part of that. So he's going to be there a full season this time around, and that is a big factor for Guyana. But they're also going to have to rely on their home players. I think besides TKR, the Amazon Warriors are probably the one squad that has to rely on their native player, their homegrown player contributions more than any other squad. And you've got Veerasamy Pramal.
Shimron Hetmeyer as well, who's pretty good in Canada, I think, again.
Well, the big star from Canada wasn't even amongst the franchise teams. It was Sherfane Rutherford, who scored this incredible unbeaten 134 against the champion Vancouver Knights squad as part of the West Indies B team. And he's only just a young up-and-coming player from Guyana. So he made a big name for himself by getting into that T20 Canada tournament through the West Indies B team. And his stock is on the rise. But you've got Bishu, you've got Pramal, you've got Kimo Paul, Sherfane Rutherford.
That sounds,
four guys from
Guyana. That does sound like a homegrown player-heavy squad, if we may call it that. It is. There's quite a few of the West Indians who are making up the core of that side.
One thing, Srinath, about Guyana is that they are a very consistent team. They may not have the biggest names, but every season in the CPL, they've lost in the final, I think, twice, if I remember. Mm. And they make the playoffs most of the time. So that's one team which you should never count out, because they don't have the big names, but they end up actually doing well. And Sohail Tanvir always does well. And the other fact is Guyana, the wicket in Guyana is such a conducive wicket for bowlers. It's not something which...
And
not
that's,
an ideal,
that's different from most T20 wicket.
Yes, and that's something which Rashid Khan actually leveraged last time. So it's important whether the spinners can do. It's important to see how the pitchers play there. Mm. And like PDP said, I think they're starting off, and I think they're also hosting the playoffs. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the pitch plays. And guys like Imran Tahir, if they can come on their own, then Guyana will be a force to reckon with.
Right. The last team that we're coming to is Jamaica Talawas, who obviously don't have Chris Gayle anymore, but they've got Shahid Afridi. Shahid Afridi is still playing T20 franchise leagues, remember? And they've added quite a few. They've strengthened the team with Ross Taylor and David Miller coming into the mix this time. Peter, how does this look? How does Jamaica Talawa's post Chris Gayle look?
Their squad is almost unrecognizable from the team that won the title in 2016. Yeah. There's been so many changes in the 2 years since, and Andre Russell coming back is perhaps the lone bit of the core from a couple years ago that's
quite a bit remaining. Of strengthening, just like in terms of Russell, as we saw in the IPL as well this year.
He was the player of the tournament in 2016 when they won the title, and that just shows how big of an impact they have. But no Singakkara this year. Obviously, Gayle left last year.
Lendl Simmons, I believe, has left as well.
Lendl Simmons, Shakib Al-Hassan, all those guys have moved on. The only other guy who's really been a core player for the last couple of seasons as a contributor is Imad Wasim, who's done very well for the Talas, and you could also say, to a lesser extent, Rovman Powell. Mm. I'll be especially curious how they perform this year, because even though the Jamaica Talawas a name, by schedule they're more looking like the Florida Talawas. They've got three of their five home games in Lauderhill.
You're going to be watching them then at Florida.
I'll be there in another 10 days or so to see their home slate in Florida. Hmm. And Shahid Afridi, I mean, the Jamaican local fan base has actually not come out in as many numbers compared to some of the road teams that have played neutral site games. They're like Trinbago, like Guyana. But
is that post-Chris Gayle, or is it just been the norm throughout?
That's just been regardless. I mean, Trinbago has always had by far and away the best fan support. I mean, when they played, and even the West Indies games, when the West Indies have played there in 2012, 2016, the Trinidad and Tobago flag is a more common sight than even the West Indies flags or West Indies cards. Everybody who's the Trinidadian expat or who's coming from Trinidad directly for those matches, they make up huge, huge amounts of numbers.
Yeah.
And Jamaica hasn't necessarily had as great fan support there, even though they're the de facto home team. But there's a huge South Asian support network there. And so having Shahid Afridi come and be a part of the franchise now, I think that could make a difference in terms of rallying support, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
In a kind of a quirky way, and if he can get back to his old form and take some wickets on a ground that is prone to high scores. I mean, the biggest impact this past weekend was Shakib Al-Hassan taking pace off the ball and tying down the West Indies order. So if you can get a slow bowler who can dominate on that wicket, that is a huge plus. And Shahid Afridi, Imad Wasim has done very well over the last couple of years when Jamaica's played. Those guys, along with Samuel Badri, will have a big role to play in terms of the Florida slate of the Talawa's home schedule.
Right. Let's get your predictions then quickly. The only thing you need to predict first up is which two teams will not make it, and then we'll get you to predict your champion for the season. Gaurav, let's start with you. You've already said Barbados Tridents. You don't see them making it to the playoffs. Who else?
I think St. Kitts.
So Barbados and St. Kitts don't make it. The other four do. Peter, who doesn't make it for you? Who are the two teams who will miss out?
I am going to say Barbados. And until they prove me wrong and they prove everybody wrong, the Stars, they've had zero wins. So, since they've changed the name from the Zooks to the Stars.
So that's Stephen Smith, David Warner, and Jared Kimber going home early.
Stephen Smith, you know, he went to Canada with Toronto Nationals, finished last place there. So the amount of success that's followed him recently and yeah, with the Zooks / Stars as a whole over the last 12 months is not offering much promise at the face value. So until they prove me wrong, I'll say the Stars and I'll agree with Gaurav on the Tridents as well.
Right, Tridents getting the cut from both of you, and St. Lucia Stars and St. Kitts as well. Right. So, Gaurav, predictions for the champion. Do you see Trinbago retaining the title? Does that happen in the CPL too often?
The same teams have won but not defended title. It's a tough call. Yeah, Trinbago looked the favorites, but It's going to be between Trinbago and, believe it or not, St. Lucia
Stars. Yeah. Peter, do you have a different view?
I am shocked to hear such confidence in that pick. Touching on a point Gaurav made, I actually think Guyana, the fact that Gaurav brought up
the playoffs
are in Guyana this year. I think that could play a very significant role because they've been bridesmaid on several occasions, and getting that opportunity to play the playoffs in Guyana could make them the bride this year.
That's a prediction for Devendra Bishu and Imran Tahir to come good on spin-friendly tracks in Guyana. That's all we have time for on this edition of Talking T20. More spaces covered preview of CPL 2018. Thanks to Peter Della Penna and Gaurav, as always, for joining us on this episode.
Thank you.
Thanks, Srinath. Thanks, Gaurav. Thanks, both of you guys. That was good fun.
And if you like this episode, remember to leave us a rating on iTunes, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from, and tweet to us on our social media handles. Until next time, it's goodbye from all of us at ESPN Cricket Show.